You're listening to SpursCast, episode 577. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm the host here on the SpursCast. Joining me today are Project Spurs founder Michael DeLeon and John Diaz, and writer John Diaz. Mike, start with you. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Slowly, some sports are starting to come back, so I don't have to watch like lawnmower racing anymore, which is a good thing. I mean, it's slowly but steady, but so some form of normalcy seems like it's around the corner. I know we'll talk about a lot of that today.
John, how are you doing?
I'm good. I can tell you this much. I'm still not watching NASCAR. That's not happening.
You know what's funny is that the other day, I think it was on Sunday or last week, John Oliver, the host on HBO, he did a segment on sports being gone and stuff, and he talked about that marble racing, and I don't know if you guys have seen it. And,
yeah.
And randomly, I was just on YouTube because, you know, I get sucked into the YouTube rabbit hole these days where, like, you just start watching one video, and it appeared, and I was like, okay, I'll give this a shot. It's like a replay of, like, last year's. It was actually really interesting. I watched, like, 10 minutes of it, and then I was like, well, yeah. Okay, I can see that. So, I mean, we're obviously stuck without sports, but it does look like sports are coming back, possibly, guys, and that's kind of why we want to. I know it's been a while since we've recorded a SpursCast episode, so I wanted to get you guys on here and kind of just go through the latest with the NBA and the Spurs, and then I also wanted to really dig into some of what the financial implications are going to be, because I know that this isn't written about a lot, and so you really have to really dig in and find some of this information. So let's go and begin first with the latest on the league. So some latest news with the NBA, we do know that the draft combine and the lottery were postponed. That's probably going to have to take place, you know, after the season or playoffs, you know, whether depending on how long those go into, then we'll eventually get the lottery. And I don't even know if they'll even do a combine based on all the situation that we're in. So we do know that the draft will happen at some time, but it's probably not going to happen when it was supposed to in June. It's going to get pushed back. Now, here's the latest on the league where it stands as of Thursday evening that we are recording this. So these are just a few different outlets that have provided some information. According to the Ringer, Las Vegas, Orlando, Disney World, and Houston, Texas are all being considered as neutral sites for games to be played. According to The Athletic, Disney World is the favorite right now. It's most likely going to be the place where training camps are going to be held and games taking place in probably starting in mid-June and then beginning play in mid-July. According to ESPN, according to Woj and Zach Lowe, they had a pretty interesting article where they said teams are expecting guidance on players returning by June 1st back to their team, you know, their cities where they play. What they're proposing is like a 2-week quarantine for players to return to cities, then 2 weeks of like individual player workouts, and then 2 to 3 weeks of team workouts or training camp, should we say. And then, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie kind of gave a little hint earlier today on Twitter. I don't know if that's official, but he basically said that they're looking at July 15th to begin play-in games, whether that's a tournament, whether that's the regular season, or just go straight into the playoffs. That it does look like basically like mid-July is going to be the date that we're looking at right now if everything goes smoothly for the NBA. Let's start with John here. What do you think about the league coming back?
You know, I think mid-June is a reach. Obviously, we've seen like the MLB kind of already say, hey, July looks like the target date. I can tell you from experience with work and everything, we're on our, you know, work from home and partial schedule through June. We're not expecting sports at all in June. So that's one of those things where we've been working with the regions and all the other, you know, teams that have been kind of working with their leagues, and they're just telling us July. I did see today that the NBA was wanting to shorten to a 70-game season on Real GM, and I think it's a good idea, but at the same time, I think it's pointless, because if you look at the standings, some of the teams that are, like, Memphis is up basically 5.5 games already. They'd only really play 5 games. There would be no need for teams like the Spurs that, you know, had that outside playoff chance to even suit up, and it also seems unfair when you would have teams, I think it was Atlanta and Dallas would only play 3 games, and then the Lakers and the Kings would play 7. And that just seems unfair that if we're going to shoot for everyone to have an even number, like, why are these guys getting more or less reps? Depending on what the situation is, that seems like, hey, why would you want to expose yourself even more to play 7 games, or why would you not get as many reps in before the playoffs and only play 3 games? So that has me a little bit curious moving forward, but I do think, like, July is a good target for everything. If there isn't like a second wave or any kind of thing that we have to worry about. And I think we would probably see the league move to maybe like 4 centralized locations. Like, they've already mentioned Vegas, Orlando, Houston. I think if you can try to minimize how many teams and how many personnel are in one area, that's probably perfect. If you can do 7 teams and 4 spots, maybe 8 in a couple, or just have the playoff teams go out there, and then you can separate them by fours even better that way. But obviously that's still a lot of stuff being worked out, and we'll find out more in time, and every day it's something different. So as long as some of this stuff leaks out, it gives me hope that we are going to have a season.
So now that you just told me that, that makes more sense about Spencer Dinwiddie's tweet, because he did say the last five, and I don't know what he was talking about. So that makes sense, because I just looked like the Bucks. They've played 65 games so far, so if you obviously mm-hmm. had five, become 70. So that makes more sense what you just said there. Mike, what are your thoughts on the NBA right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation, because I've seen, like, we all saw kind of how the UFC came back, I think it was last week, and but they had to test everyone, and then they found somebody that had, the COVID-19, so... But they were really good about it. But that's for like one versus one, like there's just like two guys in there and like an official. And so I think it's a lot harder when you get to something like NBA when you've got like 15 member teams and coaches and things like that. So it's definitely a different thing they're gonna have to look at. And I think the testing part, and I think it was the Athletics. Also talked about that. I think they're doing like a finger test or something like that. And so it's just I'm kind of surprised that they're that they're even thinking about coming back. And I thought they would have by now kind of like scrapped it and just said, okay, well start fresh. So I just think they have to be very careful. And I know everybody wants sports back, and it's a big part of our lives, obviously. And everybody sees where we're. Everybody's kind of going crazy without it, but it's a lot of precautions to take. And like John said, that I mean, with the Spurs playing very few games, it's like is it worth even putting those teams or players in in danger because to play a few games that aren't going to count or aren't going to get them in position anyway? So is there another option where they just take the top maybe 10 teams or something like that. So it's definitely interesting. There's a lot to be worked out, and it's going to be interesting to follow that and see which route they go to get that done to try to save this season.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to say was that, like, this is something that Zach Lowe and Charles Barkley mentioned on a podcast that Zach Lowe hosted recently, was that, like, what do you do in a playoff scenario if, like, one of your star players gets, coronavirus, tests positive? Do you hold them out for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, what if the Lakers had to play without LeBron, or the Clippers without Kawhi, or the Bucks without Giannis? Like, what are they going to do in that scenario? And obviously, if one of those players has to miss for 2 weeks, their team's most likely going to lose. So, and then, all of a sudden, like, did the Lakers, really give their best shot, or the Bucks? So, I think there's a lot of questions, like you guys said, and I agree with both y'all said, as far as the Spurs are concerned, they're pretty much out of it unless they do some sort of play-in tournament. That's probably the only way I see them having a chance of getting into the playoffs. But I mean, is it really, you guys are right, is it really worth the players coming back, playing five games, risking themselves getting coronavirus, and then obviously taking, possibly taking that back to their families, or just anybody, that's around there at the arena, coaches, like you guys mentioned, trainers, etc. So yeah, there's a lot of questions, and again, like you guys both mentioned, is it really worth it to bring it back? And obviously, it looks like they're saying yes. We've seen the reports that the players have gotten together, all the star players, should we say, and they all say yes, they want to finish the season. But we don't know about like some of the minor role players and stuff, if they're really all in or not to resume the season. So we'll kind of obviously keep up with what's going on with the NBA. But like as I said, as of right now that we're recording this on May 21st, it does look like they do want to bring some form of basketball back here in the next few months. All right, so the next question I want to go to is kind of looking at the future, and there's been a lot of discussion and kind of uncertainty about what the offseason is going to look like, because we know that once the season does finish, whether it gets canceled or they've resumed the playoffs and just finish up the season, the offseason is eventually going to come probably at a later date. So I gave you guys access. I mean, I gave you guys some notes here from ESPN's Bobby Marks. He recently wrote a piece just kind of providing eight different proposals that the league's kind of looking at or that he's thought about in terms of how the cap's going to look going into the future. And so, let's just start. I just picked a few of these just to kind of pick your brains and kind of see what you guys are thinking about this. And also just to give the fans, those of you that haven't been following the salary implications, just how much things may change these next few off seasons going forward because of the situation. So let's just say that there weren't any changes to the CBA. The league is looking at losing possibly $25 to $30 million for the salary cap year coming into this next season. So what does that mean? There would likely be a $95 million salary cap and $115 million luxury tax. With this scenario, and let's say the Spurs still have DeRozan because he's probably going to opt in now that with the situation, Jakob Pertl's cap hold and Chimezie Metu still on the books, the Spurs would be $38.3 million over the salary cap. So they would be an over the cap team, and they'd be $18.3 million over the tax. And so it wouldn't just be the Spurs. I mean, we're talking about like 25 of the 30 teams would probably be capped over the cap in this situation if the league didn't make any changes. So because of that, they're probably going to have to make they've had some proposals on how they're going to try to figure out the cap. So let's just kind of go through some of these proposals that they're discussing or that have been discussed. So one of the proposals is instead of letting just the cap fall apart, maybe use this. We've heard the discussion of using this current cap. So the current, the one that we have right now. So like basically rolling back the numbers from this year. So the salary cap will be 109 this year. Again, and then $132 million luxury tax. What would happen to the Spurs if they still have DeRozan, Pirtle, and Metu on the books? They'd be $24.1 million over the cap and $700,000 over the tax. So let's start with Mike here. What do you think about that situation of just kind of keeping it with the same numbers from this year? Because obviously we see that the Spurs would still be crunched here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, with the situation that they're in, it's like there's not a lot of room for – I mean, I don't think – many of these options really give them an option to really do anything. I mean, obviously, Doodles is probably going to come back. They're still going to want to bring Hurdle back. I'm not sure about Chimezie. But regardless of how you look at it, it seems like almost no matter what, they're still going to be over the cap. They're still going to be over the tax. So that's going to definitely handicap them some in the offseason. So I'm not so sure there's really, at least in the Spurs' case, there's not really a proposal that really does anything to help them to try to, get any kind of cap flexibility.
John, if they keep the cap with the current numbers of today, do you think that it actually impacts their chances of maybe re-signing Jakob Pertl or even bringing any of their free agents back, like Bellinelli or Brent Forbes? Or what do you think is going to happen to the free agency, Spurs players?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it actually did, honestly, because even though you're worried about a certain projected number, we've already seen that the salary cap issues go back all the way to before the season started with Daryl Morey's China tweet that caused a whole bunch of issues alone. And going into that, I feel like if you keep the salary cap the same, and especially like some of the other provisions with limiting repeater taxes and stuff like that or decreasing the salary floor, I think you're going to see movement restricted and a lot of guys opt into these deals, and maybe just player movement in general just ceases to exist, because not only does that also affect players in terms of now I got to worry about where I'm moving during this whole thing if coronavirus isn't resolved by then, but it also is just a lot of things where there's so many other variables. Like, you don't want these guys having to worry about where they're going to live and where they're going to move and also have to worry about your team construction. It limits teams that want to get better. Obviously, it limits these guys that were so gung-ho, like Detroit, that had a bunch of cap space and was ready to go sign someone. But at this point, I don't see, the league has lost. It's already hemorrhaging money as it is. Like, why would we try to exacerbate that even more by changing all these different rules for the salary cap and all these teams? So I think for, like, in San Antonio's case, yeah, you'd probably see DeMar opt in. And maybe if things resolve itself, you still have the trade deadline. Maybe you get an amnesty and you can get rid of a contract that may hinder you, like a Rudy Gay contract, and not have to worry about it. But this also still, like, you're still going to have Damari Carroll on the book. Like, just because you lost Pau Gasol's waived contract, there's still a lot of those same issues still exist. Just because the salary cap came down maybe $5 or $6 million, it won't make that much of a difference.
Yeah, so, I'm not going to go through all these in detail, these proposals, but I just want to kind of let the listeners know a few of them that they're thinking about. Like John mentioned there is one proposal where maybe they bring back the amnesty clause for at least one player. And what that means, again, is that you cut a contract, and the team still has to pay the player. The player's going to get paid, but the salary cap hit won't be there. So like John mentioned, the Spurs would have cut Rudy Gay, his entire salary would be wiped off the books if they cut DeMar DeRozan, whoever that person is. And then the example Bobby Marks uses is somebody like Blake Griffin. Maybe the Pistons would cut him so that they have a bunch of salary cap space. And then all of a sudden, hey, Blake Griffin's on the market for, whatever team he wants to sign with. So that's just one proposal being discussed. Another one that I think is really interesting is the cap smoothing, where they kind of set a three-year projection of, and set these numbers. numbers. So, like, they would have, like, this coming year, $112 million, the next year, $118, the following year, $123. So the good thing there is that, like, even, you know, as we see the league's probably going to lose money here, it takes care of them for the next 3 years. The problem, though, is that what if there is a spike and everything goes back to normal? Let's say a vaccine gets developed and just things go back to normal pretty quickly. Well, then those players have already locked into that new set salary cap. So there's some issues there with the cap smoothing, but I think that might be the safest approach they might have to take. Another idea that's being proposed is roster expansion. Now, maybe adding like two more players per roster, and they would be on the inactive list. But in the event that somebody got COVID and they had to sit out for 2 weeks, well, then you just bring in that other player and activate him on your team. So that's also something that they could discuss. So, you know, again, I don't want to get too far into the numbers here. But again, there's just some proposals that are being discussed right now. Now, here's my big takeaways, though, with all these things. I think I'm seeing right now, like John mentioned, they're hemorrhaging money. They're losing a lot of money. How vital are draft picks going to be? And not just first-rounders. We're talking maybe even second-round picks this year. What do y'all think about that? Mike, go ahead and give your response on that.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been doing a lot of, like, drafts with, like, prospects. Like, a lot of just analysis on the players and things like that. And to me, I'm thinking especially teams like the Spurs who don't have room. I mean, the draft is definitely important. And that's why I kind of like having the lottery and everything moved around. It's kind of like it's one of those things where it kind of puts you into, you don't know exactly what to expect because you don't know where they're going to be to take who, you know, who will be available around that time. And obviously this is a weak draft, so a player isn't going to be like, it won't be like in other years where a player around 10 or 13 is going to be like a surefire, you know, stud that's going to come in right away. And so, but I think especially moving forward, that's definitely going to be important because that's their best option at building the roster until they get some flexibility, maybe like 2 or 3 years.
John, do you think that teams would, you know, let's say that, you know, the numbers are really, really crunched like what we're talking about here, that's looking like, do you think the teams would really weigh maybe putting more stock into, you know, younger players, whether that's an undrafted player or, you know, just a veteran minimum rather than a role player with like an exception or something? What do you think about that those decisions they're going to have to weigh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you've seen a lot of the sports leagues, especially with the NFL and the MLB, the analytics kind of geared to young, controllable, cheap talent. And the NBA is slowly starting to shift that way where you're basically seeing these guys get rookie extensions. And plus, with the way the player movement has been in the NBA, you kind of want to get these guys young and try to get some value out of them and try to, you know, just maximize their value while you can, because they're probably going to leave with the whole player empowerment and how they want to create super teams and stuff like that. I think a lot of teams will be willing to shell out more for those second-round picks and try to maybe invest more in their G League product and 10-day contracts and leave those roster spaces open, which is going to be kind of interesting to see who gets out of a job and who, like, what kind of veterans may have to end up overseas and stuff. That we've been seeing that a lot lately, where these guys go to the Korean League and the China League and all that stuff, and go to Italy. So that's going to be really interesting moving forward, especially with now how the NBA wants to shift to some of these high school guys eventually getting a shot to come back into the NBA. You can build up talent. You can try to trade some of these guys for a lot of draft picks going into the future, and especially if the cap is going to be low. It's going to be interesting who pulls a Golden State and basically just manipulates this in their favor for the next decade.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that's discussed, is that, you know, there's a lot, there's a chance that there could be another spike in terms of opening up salary cap space if things go back to normal really quickly. So let's say that, you know, they put these extreme measures in for this coming season because they think they're going to lose so much money. But the next year, let's say the vaccine does get developed, everything's back to normal in our economy. Well, then all of a sudden you could have a situation where, like, there's like this huge, you know, amount of room that teams can use to sign, you know, multiple free agents in the next year's class, not this coming free agent class. So yeah, there's definitely another chance of another Warriors team possibly being built. And so again, you know, I just wanted to show, you know, just show the readers, you know, kind of, I mean, not the readers, the listeners, what, you know, some of the situations that are in play, you know, once the basketball season does finish this coming year, that, you know, you may see certain free agents out there this coming off season, and depending on the financial situation, the Spurs may have to just sign their second round draft pick or sign an undrafted guard or just like a veteran minimum player, and you may get upset and say, well, that's not, you know, that's not the best competitive angle. Well, the reason why is because a lot of these teams are going to be you know, really crunched financially to even improve their teams, it looks like, in certain scenarios so far, and where everything stands. All right, guys, so those are pretty much our main two topics. I mean, again, there's not much going on, you know, as far as the Spurs, just because, again, it's been there's just no basketball. But one thing, we did have one fun question, and we let's just see if the guys want to get into this here. It was about one of the games that you know, some of us play, NBA 2K20. I played on PS4. And so the question was, you know, basically, you know, discuss your My Player, you know, how many years you've been in the league, what's your position, you know, what if you want to reveal what your difficult level to you play on, whether or not you play online or just a season, and then, you know, just give it your stats. So this would be pretty fun. John, you kind of first shot this question to me, so go ahead and start with yours, whatever you want to provide.
So, man, okay, so my friends and I, we're kind of like, we like to play in the rec a lot. So the whole thing was kind of finding a build. They already had their guys kind of made, because I got on 2K20 this year late. I've been playing a lot of Destiny 2, Call of Duty, stuff like that. And so they needed a center, and I was like, okay, cool. And they were like, research your build, find something that you like, whatever. And I created a glass cleaning lockdown that was modeled after a Bill Russell build. And he was great in the career mode. He was awful in the rec. He couldn't dunk on anyone. The hook shots were just getting swatted back in my face. Couldn't hit anything. And I was like, okay, I got to redo this. So I started looking for, in the rec, basically, if you're a lockdown defender, you're a two-way, I mean, the game is just absurd on how defense is played as it is. We all know kind of 2K is always on some kind of crap anyway. But so I found a two-way playmaking center, which ironically enough was modeled after David Robinson. So I made that build, went to the Spurs my rookie year. I had a bunch of VC from the first dude I leveled up, so I got him up pretty quick. And then one rookie of the year, one MVP. Obviously, I only play on pro. Like, the whole goal is just to level that dude up and take him in the wreck.
Is that the default setting, pro? Is that the default setting?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good, good,
yeah.
Okay, good.
I just want to level this dude up and then go in the wreck and dump on people and just, like, swat the ball back in their face. I just want to dominate down there. And so win the championship and everything, which, cool, championship, MVP, finals MVP, and then you get to contract negotiations. And 2K basically has it set up to where it doesn't want to let you max out your VC, because a max contract is, quote-unquote, max contract is technically 1,000 VC per game, and then you can do a 2x multiplier. Well, even at 1.2, they're like, we retract our offer. You're not a max contract player. You never will be. I went through, I swear to you, this because this was just last week, I went through every team in the NBA trying to get a max contract, trying to get more than 1,000 VC per game. And the game wouldn't let me, so he gave me the very last team that was on the list, just automatically signed me with the Portland Trail Blazers. So now I'm over there with Dame and CJ, and team's good. My dude's a 97 overall center, and he's a beast. Like, he averages in the career mode itself, it's like 29 and 16 with like 3 blocks a game. So it's perfect. In the rec, he rebounds everything, he blocks everything. I've had multiple guys lately hate message me. Like, your dude's trash. It's like, no, you couldn't score on me. That's not my problem, all right? So, yeah, and then I just created another point guard just for fun in case, like, one of our point guards drops out. It's a two-way playmaking – or two-way sharpshooter, excuse me. And he plays for the Mavericks because that's just – the easiest way to level up is just, hey, alley-oop to Doncic. Hey, all right, out to Porzingis. Cool. Just get crazy assists that way and shoot up whatever I need to. So I'm having fun with it. I'm having more fun than any 2K I've actually ever played.
Real quick, some questions. So how tall is your center on the game?
6'11" for the speed.
Okay. And so you were actually drafted by the Spurs in your first year?
Yeah. Because I did the whole combine and everything. Yeah. And yeah, I ended up getting, like, I was a lottery pick, but still drafted by the Spurs. So yeah, it worked out.
Okay, cool. Mike, do you play the 2K?
Oh, the career? Man. I don't play it as much, though, and I was also late because it always takes me forever to get through a season. And so I was holding on to at least finish my first season of 2K19. And then I also play a lot of Madden, which is always, for some reason, it's still, like, terrible, even though it's the only NFL game out there. It's still pretty trash. But, yeah, so I jumped on late. I got I did terribly at the combine, and so I ended up being a second-round pick, an early second-round pick to the Kings, and then I ended up getting traded to the Spurs, which is kind of cool. I always use a point guard because whenever I mix a center or power forward, I'm terrible at, like, getting out of the, you know, I always get called for 3 seconds, and so I just want to stay in there. Always, so, and point guard for me is the easiest because I can usually make, you know, I can, you know, pass it all day. and I don't have to really rush with getting anything up there. I just have to, like, slowly raise my shooting and everything like that. So I'm, like, averaging about 18 and 8 a game right now.
Okay.
With that player. I don't play online against anybody. I think I just don't play it enough. And so my guy's, like, at 82 right now overall. And so right now I'm just going through this season and trying to complete my first season. And right, I'm about to get just past All-Star break. And so getting ready to start the second half of the season. But, yeah, the other thing is that a lot of times, even with the point guard, like, I'll try driving and dishing, and the guy will be, like, wide open, and then he won't shoot the ball. And I'm just like, what? They totally ripped me off my assist because you can't shoot a wide open three from the corner. And I'm just like, so anyway, it's been pretty fun. I play a few hours a week. I haven't been playing a whole bunch, but just because I spent my time between that and the other game. And but yeah, it's definitely fun. And I'm looking forward to getting to that off-season part that John's at right now, because I haven't seen any of that.
Yeah.
Yet. So, and then I also play a lot of like franchise and stuff. But I'm just like, the whole like my GM thing this year is like. The whole, like, you have to, like, go through this whole chit-chat thing with players and stuff. I don't know if you guys play this. And
yeah.
I'm just like, that is so annoying. It's such a waste of time. Why can't they just skip over it? So I'm just, like, chit-chat with so-and-so, and I just press A-A-A-A, and I'm like, just get me past it. I don't want to talk about books or whatever it is. And so there's so many things. That, like, they finally changed it from, like, it was the same for, like, a few years, but they changed it, and it's just, like, a little annoying now. But anyway, I'm having fun with it.
How tall is your point guard?
He's 6'5".
6'5", so okay.
I play a little bit. The other thing is it took me a while, guys, to, like, get my speed up slowly, and so I'm not, like, burning anybody, but really I just look to pass, and then sometimes it's, like, secondary shooting.
All right. So my guy's actually your height, but I play a different position. My guy's 6'5", shooting guard. I was drafted by the Cavs, and I'm so selfish. I did that only because I knew they stink, and so I knew I'd get minutes automatically if I just beat out the guy. So I got drafted by the Cavs, and I'm playing in pro, like John said, you know, the default. I don't play that much online either, just because I'm really impatient, and I don't have, like, you know, I don't have that many friends online, so I don't wait for a group. I just try to go to the park and try to find a place to play, and nobody ever wants to pick me up, or if they do, you know, I just get mad, and I don't want to wait, so I don't have the patience for the online. Anyway. Back to my season. So I'm on my second season right now. My first season, like I mentioned, I'm drafted by the Cavs. Round one, 15th pick. I averaged 28 points a game, 3 assists, and 1.5 rebounds. I shot 51% from the floor, 50% from 3, and 90% from the free throw line. So I'm just a ball hog shooter. It's like I purposely stay away from the mid range in NBA 2K. I only do dunks, layups, free throws, and threes. That's it. Like, I just don't take even step in the mid range.
Anyway, like DeMar DeRozan, then, I guess.
And my dude's all mid range, man.
Yeah, and so, you know, this game's so, you know, in pro it's so easy because I won. Apparently, I didn't even know this, but I won the championship last year. I forgot that I won it, and then I made the All Star team. So then this off season, this past off season, I don't remember why, but I know I chose the Wizards. Now, probably because, again, they stink too. They had a lot of money, but also I like their uniforms. It's something about the uniforms. They have so many different, you know, all the different. I still like the Gilbert Arenas version of the uniforms. The you know, just all the classic ones that they have. There's the Bullets. So I'm on the Wizards right now, and I just started the playoffs. And this season, y'all are gonna laugh, right?
You know what's a video game, man?
Yeah, here's my stats for this season: 46 points a game, 3 assists, 1.5 rebounds. 46 points. Okay, here's my shooting stats.
How many assists did you say?
Just 3.1 assists.
I
get so mad whenever I have to pass and they miss a shot or they miss a dunk or something.
Yeah, right.
I get so mad, so I just don't even take the patience. I don't have the patience. So here are my shooting stats for this season: 60% from the floor, 59% from three, 96% from the free throw line. So,
God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And so, I'm just basically like Klay Thompson. All I do is I run around screens and I wait till I get hot, and I just shoot so many threes. Almost like majority of my shots are threes or getting to the layup line. Anyway, it's really fun, and I know it's so, like, nerdy of me, but I purposely stay away from mid range, and yeah, I try to keep away from there at all costs. So it's fun. I have fun. Yeah.
How long are you playing your quarter? Is that?
Yeah, so, and like you guys, during the my career, like the press conferences, I purposely just skip through the answers. I don't care.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't have time for that. So I just kind of skip through it.
What I hate is, like, too, is, like, everybody hates you at first. Like, all your, like, subordinates, and so I like fired a bunch of people, and then I got like that totally like screwed me up, because then like I got like a low trust from like the owner and things like that, and I had like all these negative effects. I was like, dude, like how are these guys like lower than me? Like my assistant GM, and he's like always pissed off, and the trainer, for some reason, no matter what I do, if I compliment him or if I critique him, obviously mocking, like no matter what, it's always negative. I'm just like, okay, so let me like fire him and grab somebody else, and like, no, I guess that's the wrong thing. So I can't win on that one.
During the season, how often do you guys change your appearance? Like, not your like your press conference clothes, but just like your like facial and everything during the season. Do y'all do that often, or is it you just kind of keep your guy the same?
At least once a week. So like my dude, honest to God, it's kind of funny because like even though he's a David Robinson build, I made him like Dennis Rodman. So he's two sleeves. He's got the mohawk, and I'll paint it different colors. And then so one of our buddies just bought the game, and he's our point guard now. And like we're both running the fast break, and he's like, I don't know who to pass it to. You guys have the same hair, and I'm like, all right, well, I got to dye my hair after this game. Because like I had it bleach blonde for a little bit, because like I had it pink in San Antonio with turquoise shoes, just to kind of like have the kind of fiesta colors going. And when I went to Portland, I'm like, this looks terrible. Like, I hate the red all over the uniforms and then having colored hair. So I just made it blonde. And then I was like, well, now I got to make it black. Like, this sucks. I feel like he doesn't have as much personality now. But it's still, like, I just get bored and I'll be like, all right, this week you're going to look this way.
Yeah, me, what I do, like, I don't play 2K, like, all the time, like, anymore. You know, I mentioned this on the podcast. 2K is, like, my podcast game where, like, I like to just put it on. Put the game on mute and just kind of, you know, just go score and stuff. And I'm listening to my podcast, so it kind of like takes time away, whatever. I don't have that much to do. So I don't play it all the time. Whenever I do, that's what I do. So anyway, like let's say I haven't played in a few weeks and I'll put it on and I'll see my guy and I'll be like, okay, I got to change the way he looks. So I just go through like characters. So like one person, like I'll go through an Iverson phase where I do everything like Iverson had in the early 2000s, like the headband, the cornrows, the sleeve, you know, on one leg or one arm, etc. I remember I made my guy look like the dude from 300, Max. I forgot.
Oh
his
my
name.
God,
Leonidas. Yeah. Yes, because he has a big old beard and stuff, and I can't ever grow a real beard like that in real life. So I just, you know, it's fun to at least see it in video games. I've done that phase. I go to like a 70s phase where like I'll get this huge afro and just, you know, it's just like short my shorts and high socks. It's just crazy. Like I like to just do that and just go through different phases. I think one time I made my guy look like Jon Snow. It was just ridiculous. Like he had the hair and the beard. It was anyway. I do that too. You know, I just kind of change up my appearance.
You have to, man. It's just like you, and especially like when you start playing like part games and rec games, like you got to look different because everyone's got some crazy hair, crazy colors, crazy tattoos, and it's like a badge of honor because like some of those guys that get like the completely blacked out tattoos, you know that they just grind this game relentlessly and they're like elite level one, elite level three. I'm like, I'm in for a bad time tonight. Like I just know this dude's just gonna destroy me. Okay, the hell with it. Like, but that stuff is fun. Like, it's real cool.
Yeah, so I know that we just kind of geeked out there and talked about 2K, but hey, it's you know, we're in quarantine time, so we have that there's that to do. So again, before we close this out, guys, thanks for joining me, obviously, for this episode 577 SpursCast listeners. Go ahead and visit ProjectSpurs.com if you have a chance. Some latest updates we have over there on ProjectSpurs.com. Jonas Clark recently wrote about a look back at the 2019-20 Austin Spurs season, so you can see that from Jonas Clark. Ben Bornstein, like we mentioned, you know, we don't know when the draft's coming, but it'll come eventually. And so he continues to keep up with the draft and providing draft prospects. And again, like I mentioned, it's going to be really interesting this year because the most likely situation is, as far as what I'm seeing financially is that they're going to most likely probably have a good chance of signing their second round pick a lot, not only the Spurs, but a lot of teams. So you really want to brush up on really digging into who these players are, all these draft prospects. And then we also added a new staff member, Rob Trejo. From I think it's what's his site called, Mike, or his podcast that he has,
Bucking Spurs podcast.
Yeah, so he's making these really cool videos and he's working with Project Spurs, so he has some different Spurs film rooms, and I really encourage you all to go check those out. He made one on Quindary Weatherspoon, really deep dive on him, and then also one of Derek White and DeJounte Murray when they recently played in a game right before the season ended. So again, those are the things that are up over on Project Spurs. So again, for John Diaz, for Michael DeLeon, I'm Paul Garcia. Thank you all. Stay safe and have a great day.